We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sarah, America. Let's check out some temperatures. Got a lot going on the show today. Altus and Granville. Here are the warmest spots in the state at 77. Eric, you're 72. 69 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 68. Home of Lord Campbell, 71 at Alva. Lahoma, by the way, that's where I'm going to be doing my show tomorrow at the OSU wheat field test up going on up there. It's 70 degrees, 69 degrees out at Beaver. And out here in the Texas Panhandle, we have 66 at Lipscomb, 67 at Miami, and 71 at Wellington, and 75 at Odell. Hey, congratulations to the dry spot part of the state. You guys got some really good rains up there in northwestern Oklahoma, even some decent rains out in the Panhandle. Looks like, what is that, Boise City? Yep, 36/100 of an inch. Arnett got an inch. Woodward an inch. The May Ranch 1.13 inches. Buffalo 85 inches. Everybody pretty much got some rain. Whether it was enough or not, I'm not sure. But anyway, I had 4,300 at my house. But south of the River Bridge down there, headed towards Willow, they got up over an inch down there in that sandy country. So anyway, good job, Mother Nature. It's bringing the rain on, so everything's good there. Got a lot going on today. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in the studio today. We're going to be talking about cover crops and the five pillars of soil health, as always. Anyway, we got that coming up in the second segment. So let's go ahead and get started and see what happened overnight in our ag world. Overnight, wheat futures surged in overnight trading and global weather woes as fighting escalates in the Ukraine. Imagine that. Dry weather throughout much of the season and frost earlier this month curbed Russian wheat output. The ICAR, or whatever they call that, IKAR, Russian Ag Ministry, I guess, cut its outlook for production by 5.5% last night to 86 million metric tons. The USDA pegged it at 91.5 last week, and that's 91.5 million metric tons. Some precipitation is likely in the Black Sea region, which could give soil moisture a boost, mostly in southern Ukraine and the southern, I don't even know what that is. Anyway, another country over there, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Still, dry weather will continue in northeastern Ukraine and central Russia. In Australia, meanwhile, moisture levels are favorable in the southern Queensland and the New South Wales, but more dryness is expected in Victoria, South Australia, and Western Australia, Kinley said. In Ukraine, Russian forces recently launched a new attack on the country, intensifying the conflict between the countries. Wheat futures for July delivery jumped 12 cents to 677 3/4 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. And Kansas City futures surged 13 cents to 688. Corn futures gained a penny and a half to 464. Soybean futures for July delivery was unchanged at $12.13 a bushel. Soy meal fell a buck to $370.70 a short ton, and soy oil was up 0.05 cents to 43.6 cents a pound. Ethanol output and inventories rose in the 7 days that ended on May 10th, according to data from the EIA. Production of the biofuel increased to an average of 1 million barrels a day, up from 965,000 barrels a week earlier. in Midwest. The farthest, or by far the biggest producing region, output was reported at 954 million, up about 954,000, up about 40,000 from the week before. West Coast increased 1,000 barrels a day. Rocky Mountain output was up 1,000 barrels a day. So anyway, stockpiles in the week that ended on May 10th increased to 24.48 million barrels. That's up about 250,000 barrels from a week earlier. Weather in the Midwest and the Southern Plains, thunderstorms are possible today and tonight's parts of central North Dakota was potentially turning severe. According to the National Weather Service, storms may refire on Friday, bringing winds up to 65 miles per hour and small hail. In the U.S. Southern Plains, showers again possible this afternoon. There's potential for some severe weather in the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, with the primary concern being heavy rainfall rates in the area that have already faced flooding. I know it's flooding in the panhandle, did you? So anyway, in the far southern Texas panhandle, high hail the size of ping pong balls are possible, along with gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Well, since Kent's in here, I'm going to go ahead and do our Lipscomb Ag Grain Market, brought to you by the Lipscomb's dealerships here in Sayre and Elk City, Ford, Chevy, and Dodge. Corn, July, 456, down 5 3/4. September's 467, down 6. Soybeans for July, 1214, up 1 1/4. August, 1215, up 3/4. Soybean meal for July, 369.10, down 260. August, 366.50, down 320. Soybean oil's up for July, 44.41, up 86. August is 44.69, up 84. Hard red winter wheat is down July, 672. It's down 3. And September, 685, down 3 also. Cotton, July, 76.87, up 146. October, 76.49, up 122. West Texas intermediate crude oil, June, 79.07, up 44 cents. And natural gas for June is 248, up 0.06. Live cattle for June, 179.12, up 87. August, 177.52, up 1. Feeder cattle for May, 244.62, up 147. August, 257.60, up 172. Everybody's favorite month for feeder cattle, October, 259.07, up 140. Lean hogs are even up nicely today, at June, 98.87, up 137. July, 102.12, up 125. The Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the green slightly today. Nothing crazy going on there, doesn't look like. But anyway, okay, so we got that was going on. And what we're going to do is today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and effort span on all of agriculture as we work to ensure state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going by their office there in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. Memberships are $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or go online to okfarmbureau.org. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When we come back, I got Kent Watkins on here, and we're going to be talking about cover crops, fertilization, the five pillars of soil health, all kinds of good stuff. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
T Ken Russ here at Hobie Stockyard. Folks, we are seeing cattle bring top prices right here at home. We're competitive with Oklahoma City. We have proven on several occasions with the trust of local bigger cattle producers, top prices, less work, travel time, and greater returns on their cattle right here at home. We have great working relationships with private independent buyers to guarantee you top prices for your cattle. We have the cleanest and best facilities to handle your cattle. Fresh water and quality hay out at all times. We do not receive chronically sick, injured, or trailer cattle. We only sell the best at Hobart Stockyard.
Hobart Stockyards at 580-726-3306.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
And we're expanding and just getting everything else that we can to make us a one-stop shop. Oh, it's very convenient. You walk in, see what you want right there. If not, tell us what you want. If we don't have it, we'll find it and get it for you, and we're going to be very competitive on price. We'll probably beat anybody's price around here. We go down to Midland. We've had some crews up in North Dakota that we've had to take stuff up there to, down in Longview, Texas. Like all the big oil field companies that we have, they usually call and say, hey, we need this, or our salesman. They'll go by once, twice a month, and they'll see what they need. Hey, you need some of this, this, and this. You need 100 gallons more oil. We set big tanks, bulk tanks, you know, whatever size you want, 250 to 330 gallon tanks for oil for the mechanic shops to service all the equipment. Whatever you need, call an order in, and we get it out to you as quick as possible. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse. I'm Ronnie Redd. Myself, Brock Kalk, and Casey Miller are your owners at Camrock. Three local guys just looking to do business with our community.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Anyway, let's see here. Let's do Miami, Texas. Miami is 68 degrees, humidity 71%, dew points 58, the winds are out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour, peak wind gusts 24 miles an hour. I bet that was around 5:30 when I looked on the radar and she was getting it out there. Month to date, precipitation 1.6 inches, 8-inch soil temperature 66 degrees. Currently here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we got 72.3 degrees, no wind, 61% humidity, and it shows we only got 6/10 or 0.06 one hundredths of an inch of rain here in Elk City. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. Okay. In the studio with me now is Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech right here in Elk City. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Long time no see.
Yeah, yesterday. A while.
Yesterday. Speaking of my visit yesterday to SEI Agritech, the reason why I went in there, I wanted some salsa. So you guys convinced me to buy chips while I was there, or Vicky did. And then, let's see, you got a new product in there.
You got a new product, Taser Ranch Beef Sticks.
And man,
they are very good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they was really good. So the one I tried yesterday, because I didn't have nothing to clean my palate. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
You didn't have a beer on hand?
No.
Going down the street?
No, I should have got some. But anyway, I tried the barbecue one.
Yeah, they've got barbecue, they've got original, and jalapeno.
Yeah.
I tried them all because I like those kind of things. But
yeah.
But also, so I could talk about them, they have hit a home run with those beef sticks.
Yeah.
They know, they've got it down.
I called him after I had the barbecue one, because I'm pretty picky on my beef sticks.
Yeah, they're not Slim Jims.
Yeah, no, they're not Slim Jims, and what's that other ones that with the Bigfoot commercials?
I don't remember.
Anyway, those, damn, that barbecue one, they hit... Him and Tracy hit a home run.
Yeah, I don't know who did it for them, but they've got it.
Yeah, they got them. So now we got two companies out here in Western Oklahoma.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, have the best beef sticks around, and that's Tucker Family Beef and Taylor Ranch.
Yeah, we have the Taylor Ranch in the store there.
George Creek.
George Creek Market on South Randall. We've got them in the box or singles, however you want them.
Right. So. Yep. And no, it was really good. So. Anyway, so, well, soil health is going to be a really good thing this year because we actually have sub-moisture and we have rains here and there. Not everybody's getting just a big rains, but they're getting some decent rains.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about soil health.
Okay, so let's start where we always start whenever I'm on, and that's the five pillars of soil health. The first one for us is always armor on the soil, so... What that means is keep it covered up, because if you don't, Mother Nature will. She'll cover it with things you don't like. If you don't believe that, you can go by my field and see that right now, because I didn't have enough cover on, and she put mare's tail out there for me. So the ground's covered, but really the cattle and the sheep don't like mare's tail, so I'm going to have to deal with that.
Right.
Second one for us is low disturbance, so that means at the very least minimal till, no-till, and no-till drills and planters. And the reason for that is if you're tilling the soil, you're wrecking the soil microbes. And you just can think of that as if you drove a semi through your middle of your house at midnight, likelihood you're going to get hurt or killed. Well, that same thing is going on with the microbes. If you till that ground repeatedly, you're killing microbes. You're also blowing carbon to the atmosphere with that dust behind the tillage tool. That's really more than dust. That's carbon. And what that means to farmers is that's water holding capacity. You're blowing your water holding capacity away. So keep that in mind as you go. Diversity and plant type, that's the cornerstone of soil health, is the more diverse your cover crop can be, the better off you are to a point. There is no reason to get caught up in this, especially if you're starting out and buying stuff, especially from out-of-state vendors who are only trying to sell seed, that won't work here. So, case in point, there's really no reason to plant Egyptian cabbage, okay?
That's Why not? Not?
It's $4 a pound, and it's just not going to make it here. But the things that do grow here, that can grow here, maybe not all the way to maturity, but have a benefit to you, yeah, use them. Sure, absolutely.
What's some good examples of that?
Well, for the summer, the two legumes that absolutely will work is cowpeas. Actually, there's three. Cowpeas, mung beans, and... sun hemp.
Okay.
Sun hemp. Now, of those three, cowpeas is the most commonly used. Cows love them. Growers love them. You know, they work. There's several different cultivars that you can choose from. I always use a vining type that'll vine up the hay grazers. And, you know, it's strung out through, if you're baling it, it's strung out through the bale, so the cows really like it in the winter. Mung beans, they've kind of fallen out of favor in the last 5 years, mainly more than anything because of drought. They don't grow as well as the cow peas will. And then the sun hemp doesn't take very much of it, like a quarter of a pound per acre. But keep in mind, sun hemp is a tropical, so they use a lot of water. So keep that in mind as you're planting. And it's expensive now. It's, you know, they're like two or maybe two and a quarter a pound, which doesn't sound like much on a per acre basis, but go do 1,000 acres and it runs into money after a while.
Right.
So I didn't even bring any sun hemp in this year. They have struggled with production, keeping up with demand.
Plus, after the last two summers we've had, it probably wouldn't have done that great anyway.
Well, yeah, it's a tropical, you know, so it needs water, and the droughty conditions, you know, hinders that. And then, of course, the annual grasses that you would use would be the hay grazer types, which would, you know, we'll talk about that in the next section. But, you know, that's the Sudans and the BMRs and the WMRs and the millets and all those. And we'll go into greater detail with that in a little while.
Okay.
And then the fourth one would be living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible. Those microbes that you absolutely have to make everything turn for you has to live in and around that soil, in the soil around that root. They have to have that. So that root, no matter what it is leaking the nutrition that those soil microbes have to have. So as many days out of the year that you have a living root in the soil, the better. So a fallow wheat field through the summer is not a good deal.
I was going to bring that up.
Okay, so we used to do that. Cover crops has turned that on its ear. We used to think that we were conserving moisture. We weren't conserving anything. You were going to lose 2 inches of soil moisture through evaporation, and statistics across the South show, or the Southwest show, that we're going to lose 2 inches of water in growing a summer cover crop. So that's a push on water, but where you really benefit is the soil temperature on a bare fallow field will get up close to 150 degrees. You start killing microbes at about 103 to 110 degrees. Well, it's not like they can move deeper. They can't. They're not going to be able to move, so they're going to die. And then whenever it cools off, you start to plant your wheat next fall, then you've got to rebuild that soil microbe population. You don't have a lot of time to do that from September to it gets cold in November. You don't have a lot of time to rebuild that. So why do that? You know, just keep it covered up, keep the ground cooled off into the 80s. They flourish, and you go forward with it. And then the fifth one is livestock where it fits. You know, if you have a field that doesn't have water on it, doesn't have a well on it, whatever, it's probably not feasible to haul water. So it may not fit there. But if it fits, you should get livestock on it. And if you don't want to do that, find somebody who wants to rent that from you and let them do it.
Yeah, and make some money off of it.
Make some money out of it. It's a win-win-win all the way around. Everybody can win if they're just reasonable about what they're trying to do.
Well, like this year, we've had rains since the first major hay baling episode. So when I baled my rye that I had, of course, we started getting these rains, and I got my – you came out the other day, and you see my second growth I've got going on rye.
Right.
Well, I got one small field that I'm getting ready to plant a cover crop for the summer on it, but – you know, it'd been great just going there and burn that rye that's there now and spray my cover crop in there. But to give my cow, the grass, a little more time to grow, because grass hasn't just been, I mean, it's coming on now, but at first the ground's cold and that grass really wasn't growing. I'm just going to put the cows out there on that rye and let them nub on it here and there, and took them off of it when we started getting some more rain so they wouldn't track it up. Now they got it down, I can plant my cover crop on there and right. Go.
Yeah, and I tell you what I'm going to do this year on part of the field. Part of it I'm going to have to deal with, but on part of it, I'm not. It's got triticale rye, a little bit of hairy vetch in there. Cattle, and they have got it somewhat grazed off. And I'm just going to go in there this weekend whenever it dries up, Saturday, Sunday, or maybe Monday. And I'm drilling my cover crop straight into that. I'm not even going to bother to kill it.
Right.
I'm just going with what it is. And, yeah, it won't look pretty. And, yeah, I don't care.
But I bet it works.
It works. It'll work. You'll save the cost of the chemical. You'll save the cost of the application. You'll save that cost. Really and truly, you know, if people are honest about it, cattle are high, but they have to be high because of all the inputs.
Right.
And if you can save 10, 12 bucks an acre by not spraying, if you don't really need to, then get it covered up with a cover crop, shade the weeds or the sandburrs or something like that you have an issue with. Now, if it's solid sandburrs, yeah, you got to deal with that.
That's what I got to deal with.
But if you got them here or there, you know, scattered somewhat, or you got, you know, whatever weeds here or there, yonder, cattle are probably going to eat them, you know. So, you know, we used to kind of joke with guys who would see two or three weeds in a quarter, and they'd till the whole quarter, and we used to call that recreational tillage. Well, it's the same thing with a sprayer. Just because you have a few weeds, don't mean you need to go spray the whole quarter.
Right.
You may just, you know, spot save some spray. Money. Yeah, save some money.
Spot spray. Yeah, there's a. I got the 93 acres over there and three fields. I got grass burrs in two of them that they're all come out right now. So I'm going to let it heat up a little bit so some more will pop up, and then I'm going to burn it. But where I had the cattle, there's really nothing in there, and I might just do what you were just saying, just go in there and put it in there. And and not only does cover crops help you on your keeping your ground cooler during the summer and keeping the weed down, it's actually pretty good for the soil.
It's extremely good for the soil. I did an experiment probably 5 years ago now, and I had an area, and this was in August, and I stuck a soil probe in the ground about an inch deep, and it registered 113 degrees. And I had cover crop that was about waist high on me in another area of the field. And I went and stuck a soil probe in the ground. It was 83 or 4 degrees.
Yep.
Well, that matters.
That matters.
And then that same summer, I was helping a customer over at Hydro, and they were planting cotton, I believe. And he had one of those bearing guns, and he just shot it at the ground. It was 147 degrees on the surface. And we just looked at each other, and they luckily had pivots. And I said, I wouldn't turn the pivot off. And they were never able that summer to turn the pivot off. They had to keep watering to keep their cotton going.
Yeah. So, well, the only thing that thrives in hot soil is weeds.
That's right.
So if you keep it cool and you got it covered up, I mean, I don't have auto steer GPS on my equipment, so I've got my John Deere 1590 no-till drill. Well, out in the triticale fields that you looked at the other day, where I got a little skip in there, yeah. You know, the only things growing in there is weeds.
That's right.
But there's no weeds in the triticale.
That's right.
So it matters.
It matters. It matters. It really does.
Anyway, so all right, we're gonna take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. When we come back, I'll have your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma, and we'll continue this conversation with Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech. If you got any questions, because I've already got one question for him when we get back from break, an interesting one too. If you got any questions, the ag text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sayre Farmers Co-op. Sayre Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sayre Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sayre Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sayre or give them a call at 928-2664.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back here. I was having too fun with the picture I was showing Kent. Let's get to the, who do I want to pick today? Let's go ahead and do Lahoma. Lahoma, Oklahoma, 72 degrees, dew point 61, humidity 68. The winds are out of the west, southwest at 4 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 1.93 inches of rain. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 67. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Sunset at 8:33. 50% chance of thunderstorms today, 77 for a high. 40% tonight, 58 for a low. Tomorrow, slight chance of thunderstorms, 20%, and a high 78 degrees. Tomorrow, starting at 9:30 at the Lahoma test plots there from OSU. That's where I'm going to be tomorrow, and we're going to be doing the show live there at noon tomorrow. It'll be the last go-around for wheat test plots for the state of Oklahoma this year from OSU. Dr. Carver's going to be there. Dr. Silva's going to be there. Amanda's going to be there. There's three or four other people going to be there. I'll find that deal here and mention it on the next break. So anyway, in the studio with me right now is Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech. We're talking about the five pillars of soil health. And anyway, we got good moisture this year. No excuses for not planting cover crops if you want to plant them. It's time to start getting them in. The soil is finally starting to warm up. I know I've tested in the afternoon, and it's been 78 and 80 degrees out there on top of that sand hill I live on. But in the morning, 57, 58. Yesterday's the warmest morning I've had as far as soil temperature is concerned in the last week, and it was 62 degrees. So it's coming up.
So if you want to be realistic about those soil temperatures, and all the plants are determined on soil temperatures, take a 3-day average,
yep,
and see what it is there, and then how it's trending, whether it's trending cooler or warmer,
right?
You know. So anyway,
because peanut season's here, cotton season's here. It's 16th of May.
Yeah, it's getting time. The corn that got put in, irrigated or dry land, doesn't matter. Looks real good right now.
Yep.
We just need to.
Need some warm weather.
We need warm weather to really push the corn and decent, not excessively hot, and a little rainfall to go along for the dryland guys, the corn dryland guys, to get them past tassel and do that fill period, and then dry down, and maybe they can cut a decent crop in August.
All right, I got a question for you before we get into the cover crops. Let me find it real quick. Sorry, my bad. All right. Wonder if you can do summer and winter Truticale back to back.
Okay, so probably what they really mean is winter and spring.
Spring
Truticale.
Yep.
You can, but you're going to give up a harvest on one of them. If you're trying to go to seed or hay, you're going to give up harvest on one of them. If it's a graze out thing, yes, you could. You're going to have to terminate. Like if you plant the fall triticale, you go through the winter, you need to be planting winter triticale or spring triticale sometime in late January, early February, depending on the year. So you're going to have to terminate one of them early.
And start all over. Right.
I would instead of doing that, if you're in an area where you can do the triticale in the fall and do oats in the spring, that would be a better option for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it would work. It would work better for you.
Yeah, I seen some oats yesterday finally heading out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to a customer last week, and theirs was starting to head out last week. So they'll be rolling them up pretty soon.
One more question for you. I've planted crabgrass that I graze in the summer on wheat ground. Does that help the microbes in the soil?
Yes. Anytime you have a living root in the soil, you're helping the microbes and the soil health, absolutely.
And crabgrass has become pretty popular.
Yeah, you know, the row crop guys have fought it for decades, and it took the Noble Research Foundation to really work on it and study to see how really good it was. It is a great feat.
Yeah, I think one of my listeners, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, this was almost 2 years ago, he sent in or messaged me on Facebook or something that he was one of them that helped design that one variety of crabgrass that they got out right now.
It was probably Mr. Dalrymple out of Thomas.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, because he's the godfather of crabgrass.
Right.
They started with the Red River crabgrass, and I think they developed two or three more cultivars since then.
Right.
But he did all the research on the crabgrass,
right,
down at the Noble Research. Yeah. It's just, if you're looking for grazing, it is really good. Now, it will use some water in the heat of the summer, but it's good. And if you're a guy who likes to pour the fertilizer on it and watch it grow, if you've got the moisture to do it, you can really rack up some tons.
The only problem I have is that crabgrass we was talking about, what is it, the Texas what?
Texas Panicum.
Yeah, that crap is on crabgrass on steroids, yeah. And they don't do peanuts any good.
No, that's the difference in a row crop guy and a grazing guy. Yeah.
It looked good the first year when I baled it,
yeah,
and it tested very high in protein.
Sir. Yeah, it will.
And anyway, but now that I'm doing some peanuts,
yeah,
I'm at. I'm, and I, last year I had corn on that deal,
right,
and I had the Roundup Ready corn, and I hope I put a dent in it. We're going to find out.
Well, you'll find out. Yeah.
All right, let's go on with some cover crop deal.
Okay, so let's talk about preparation for cover crop. So let's assume that you have wheat, rye, triticale, something that you're either grazed out or you're rolling it up for hay. Or let's say you're
harvesting
just wheat or rye for a grain. As soon as you get that that crop off the field, go in there as soon as you can. And if you're a no-till guy, obviously you're going to spray it with a cheap shot of glyphosate, because all you're going to pick up with the glyphosate is the grasses. So the sandburrs, crabgrass, you know, the annuals, grasses, that's all you're going to really pick up with that. And then you need to probably put a hormone type in there like 2,4-D or dicamba or that tank mix, which is generic Weedmaster. And then remember that if you are doing that, there is a replant restriction on those hormones, especially if you have cowpeas, mung beans, or sun hemp in your cover crop blend. That you want to really adhere to, because those hormones will ding up those cowpeas and mung beans and sun hemp.
So there's a wait period.
There's a wait period. So just rule of thumb, the wait period is 7 days per pint of 2,4-D, and it doesn't matter if it's 4 pound or 6 pound, doesn't matter, and or 2 days per ounce on dicamba. So if you're going to use Weedmaster, which is, let's say, a generic Weedmaster, which is 2,4-D dicamba factory mixed, or you can mix it yourself, doesn't matter. Then it's whichever one of those, the 7 days or the 2 days per ounce, whichever one is
the most,
longest,
yeah,
is what you adhere to. You don't add them together. You don't do 7 days and then plus 2 days for each ounce of dicamba. You don't do that. It's just one or the other.
Okay.
Whichever one's the strongest. So, and if you're tilling, I guess till if you're going to and get your ground, you know, where get your seed bed ready to go. I'm not a till guy, so I can't really talk intelligently about, you know, which tool to use and all that. Jimmy, the truth is, if somebody told me I had to till to be a farmer, I'd just line it all up and sell it.
Okay.
I just wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah. It's come technology and knowledge and equipment. You know, you got different kind of tillage equipment out there, no-till equipment. You know, I see some of these guys strip-tilling.
Right.
And there's nothing major wrong with that as far as I'm concerned. It's ripping a slot in the ground where it's just loosening it up, but it really isn't bothering anything on top.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, it's 4 to 6 inches wide. And with the guidance that we have now on the tractors, that's plenty good enough, plenty wide enough for the tractor to stay on the row.
Right.
You know,
yeah, the Cotton King down there, he strip tills, and then he comes back, and last year he posted pictures of his cotton rows where his cotton coming on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, had a little curve in it right off the bat, and I was making fun of him, and he got mad at me. But anyway, that's where that planter was moving over to get into the strip till.
Yeah, it slid over.
But it still looked like crap.
Well, so, I'm not going to get into that fight. But anyway.
Take that, JR.
But anyway, so that's, you know, that's the preparation for to be able to put summer cover crops in. I will tell you that whenever you talk about actual cover crop seed, we blend at SEI Agritech, we blend on demand. So if a guy wants 4 pounds of this, 3 pounds of that, 7 pounds of this, 10 pounds, whatever, we can custom do that. We do custom do that. That's every one of our blends are custom.
Right.
To fit the budget for the customer and to fit what he's trying to do. So we do that. We've done that since day one. We inoculate the legumes in the blender, so you don't have to mess with that in a drill, because that dry peat inoculant's not worth the bag that it's in anyway.
Right.
So we do it with liquid in the blender, and it's all ready to go when you get there. So whenever you're talking about cover crop seed, lean more heavily on the legumes than you do the grasses. But at the same time, keep that those ratios balanced. So whenever you do that, you come up with too big a number for a budget, for your budget. It's too expensive for you. Fine. If we're doing it, tell me, and we will jockey around the different rates of the different things that are in there to keep everything somewhat balanced and get it in your budget.
Okay.
So we have basically two legumes this summer, cowpeas, and a little bit of sun hemp, not much. We're going to lean more on cowpeas this year.
That's what I'm
going
with.
From a budget standpoint, it's more beneficial. And then we have probably six different hay grazers. We have a male sterile Sudan, and then we have several BMRs, brown midribs. We have a WMR, and we have pearl millet.
Gotcha.
So we can blend. So what that's going to give you is a very diverse planting. And people say, well, that's not very diverse because you got several different grasses, but it's all just hay grazing. Well, no, not really, because they all grow differently and they root down differently. Some are more deeper rooted than others, which is it accomplishes the goal of diversity in the soil.
Stop right there. We're going to take a break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Be right back, because I want to touch on that just one more minute.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
CNH Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, cross-brand horse feed, Antler Max deer protein, and so much more. CNH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free biodegradable lick tubs. CNH Feed and Supply is a place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. CNH, serving the area since 1926. Visit your local CNH and they'll get you all fixed up.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I live in Claremore. I smoked for over 20 years, but it wasn't until I saw how it affected my family that I called the Oklahoma Tobacco Helpline. They didn't care about my history or how many times I tried to quit before. They were only focused on my future. Now I've been smoke-free since 2020 and try to live each day to its fullest.
A fresh start in life is waiting for you. We can help with free support to quit. Visit us at okhelpline.com to get started. A program of TSET.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May the 13th. 1,046 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 690 brought 245. 26 at 722 brought 251. 5 at 807 brought 239. 18 at 820 brought 239. 19 at 822 brought 237. 21 at 955 brought 213. 12 at 1,075 brought 204. 9 head of heifers at 550 brought 285. 10 at 589 brought 264, 4 at 699 brought 240, 10 at 770 brought 221, 6 at 836 brought 218, 41 at 1000 brought 194, 13 at 1023 brought 189. Butcher cows were 99 to 149. Butcher bulls brought 135 to 173. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I got a question from hell for you. Anyway, all right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Delhi, Oklahoma, 74 degrees. Dew point's 58. Humidity's 57. Delhi is the home of Sugar Daddy.
You know, I was going to say, don't they grow sugar cane in Delhi?
Yeah. Anyway, the winds are out of the south at 7 miles an hour. 24-hour rain total, 0.08. 10-day, 1.74 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 69 degrees. Fractional water, 1.0. Sunset at 8:37. Slight chance of thunderstorms, 50% chance, 74 for high. I did look on the radar, and there is some storms coming across the Texas Panhandle, but I don't know if they're going to get here or not. Tonight, 50% chance of thunderstorms, 55, and slight chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, and a high of 78 degrees. All right, first let's start with this question from Delhi. What does soil temperature need to be for pearl millet? And I looked on there for you. Our 3-day average, like out of Eric, Eric is 68 degrees. That's a 3-day average 2-inch soil temperature.
Okay, so for all of the hay grazer type grasses, 65 degrees, trending higher.
There we go. And that's what's happening right now.
Yes. That's so what, you're there. It's you're there. The plant.
Okay. And then I know cotton's your favorite subject, so here we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Getting some lease ground back after 5 years and been told at the coffee shop, you know. Love this, that planting a cotton crop for 1 year can help significantly with cleaning up generations of wheat-related wheat issues. True, or is there a more cost-effective way, is the question.
Yeah, just about anything would be more cost-efficient. But that's the general statement is true, because what happens in year after year after year of wheat, or anything else for that matter, you wind up with those grassy weeds in the brome class of weeds.
Right.
And, yeah, a cotton crop will clean them up, a milo crop will clean them up, and guess what? A summer cover crop will clean them up as well. Just spray them and then get ready, plant your cover crop thick enough that you shade all those out.
Right.
They're most of those grasses are in the brome
grass. Yeah, I learned that the other day. The winter grass is not really called winter grass, but it's a brome. And then you got your cheat,
that's a
and
brome.
Then what's the other
rescue
one?
Rescue grass.
Yes.
That's a brome.
Yep.
They're all bromes. But yeah, that's what happens in year after year after year of wheat. So yeah, you can clean it up with cotton, but just leave your checkbook out, because you're just going to continue to spend money.
Yeah, if you're not a cotton farmer, why become one? And if you're not set up for it, and you can probably do the same thing with, like you said, cover crops.
Yeah, you can do the same thing with cover crop. You can do the same thing with corn, milo, any other crop. Just rotate your crop.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, anyway, there we go. Thanks for the questions, guys. We got a lot of participation in today. Well, this show is going by really fast, so we got about 3 minutes left. Hit it on there, Kent.
Well, okay, so the main thing in a cover crop that you want to do is to avoid a monoculture. Monoculture is a single species year after year after year. So even, let's say, I talk about cotton because there's a lot of cotton still grown here. So through that period of time, yeah, that's a monocultural crop, single species. It roots to a certain depth, and in a dry land, in the dry land cotton areas, some years it works and some years it doesn't, just depending on rainfall. But at some point in the year, you can get a multi-species cover crop in there. It might not be in the summer like we're talking about now.
Might be in the winter.
But it could be in the winter, and so that's going to be wheat, rye, triticale, barley, oats. But with that, add hairy vetch. It'll typically make it through any winter. If you want to roll the dice a little bit, you could use Austrian winter pea as well. That'll set you some nitrogen, and with the rates of 2,4-D and or dicamba that they use in the cotton, nothing's going to get by that. So they won't have to worry about having to come back and rescue their cotton crop from the invasive weeds like they would you would think of as hairy vetch being. It's not going to survive the spray job next spring. It just won't.
Well, and also the right cover crops also. I've switched completely over to the system, as you well know, and my commercial fertilizer bill is going down every year. Absolutely. More and more and more. How's people get a hold of Kent Watkins?
You can get a hold of me at the store, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, or call us at 580-225-0317.
Mr. Watkins, thanks for coming on today.
Appreciate it
a lot. Always interesting as always. So anyway, we're out of time. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
Winning a prize for your best girl. That's what country sounds like. Thanks for making us number one, 96.5 KECO.
Prosecution could rest later today. Elisa Brady, Fox News, on day 18 of former President Trump's New York trial stemming from hush money payments to Stormy Daniels made by former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. The former president charged with falsifying business records and reimbursement checks for Cohen, who's been enduring more cross-examination from the defense today. Fox Business's Lydia Hu at the courthouse in Lower Manhattan.
There are a number of themes that are emerging. One is that Michael Cohen is motivated by money. You know, they already established the millions of dollars that he's made based on two books, merchandise that he is hawking, his podcast that he continues to operate. The new theme that we're really getting into is that Cohen is a liar. They've revisited his numerous lies to Congress and otherwise, getting Cohen to talk about the lies that he made during the Russia investigation and the fact that he was sentenced to prison time as a result of that, being ordered to pay a $50,000 fine.
And the defense also suggesting Cohen is motivated by revenge for not getting a job in the Trump White House after working to silence Daniels' claims ahead of the 2016 election. The White House and House Republicans accusing each other of playing politics as executive privilege is invoked to block the release of President Biden's interview with a special counsel during a classified documents probe. House committees leading an impeachment inquiry want the audio tapes. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one.
Two committees are considering holding him in contempt of Congress. Garland says releasing the tapes could jeopardize future investigations. A historic shift in U.S. drug policy now in motion. The Justice Department formally moving to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug with less potential for abuse than drugs in its current category, including heroin. The proposed change being sent to the Federal Register that kicks off a 60-day public comment period. America is listening to Fox News.
At Circle A, we understand the unique challenges of the oil field. That's why we offer personalized solutions for both small businesses and large corporations. Our durable, high-performance gear is designed to meet the toughest industry standards, ensuring your team is equipped to tackle any challenge. Don't compromise on safety or quality. Visit Circle A today.